My guests today are Board Vice President Mary Jo Melby, Board Member and Historian Prince McKenzie, and artist Dorian Clouser. Our subject is the past, present, and future of the El Paso International Museum of Art. And right before our break, we were talking about how the acquisition of the Kress Collection, which is an amazingly substantial part of what Kress distributed among the museums in the nation, prompted the formation of a public museum rather than a private one, and the addition of these two big wings, climate-controlled wings. Now, what position did that create for the museum?
Well, the El Paso Museum of Art quickly outgrew this building, and so it really needed to move into a bigger space because of its expanded mission and its focus. And so the El Paso Museum of Art moved downtown to a bigger location, a more versatile location. And so that left this great building with these outstanding public galleries that there's only about a dozen great galleries in this town,
yes,
and five of them are in this building.
Oh, the space is beautiful. Absolutely lovely.
Plus, it's a historic site. And so there's so much potential there. So then the International Association for the Visual Arts stepped in and adopted this building and was given management control of the building by the city.
All right.
So,
now, at this point in time, are you seeking historic designation for this building? And what impact do these two wings that were added for the Kress Collection have?
Yes, we are, and the wings were added on, and that, according to architectural historians, is considered a sensitive addition because the architects looked at the building and added them on in a sensitive way.
Excellent.
However, across the front facade is a glass curtain wall, and the space of the original grand portico of the building was modified for reuse. And it's used very nicely today, but it did modify the grand portico. Mm-hmm. And so that is, to some architectural historians, not considered a sensitive adaptation.
Will this disqualify
and so,
the structure?
Well, we're going to find out.
Okay.
And part of the criteria of National Register sites is historic significance, and we have an awful lot of that.
Oh, yes.
From the Turney family, their dedication, public service, and all of that.
And part of the Montana Historic District as well.
Right.
Yes,
and so it's one of the keystones of the Montana Historic District, and also because the portico modification is what we call a glass curtain wall, it's transparent.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's still easy to identify the grand
the original
facade.
Architecture.
And there are treasures. I was just visiting Florence, Italy 2 weeks ago, and I saw some of the things that were incorporated in this building during the Italian Renaissance. And because Henry Troost was such an eclectic and such a gifted designer, he incorporated some beautiful Renaissance features in this building that are just amazing.
Well, the El Paso Association for the Visual Arts, when the group stepped in and took on this building, it took on a huge responsibility because it is an old building. And as we know, they own us, not the other way around. So there is a lot of need for community support. I was in the museum recently for an art opening. It was a beautiful sunlit entryway filled with people and color and every gallery bustling with activity, openings and special things happening, saxophone and piano in the air. It was delightful to be in that building. So what is happening now? For example, tell me about the offerings in the building.
We had such a wonderful time with three openings of three different artists.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, the wonderful music. I think one of our main messages is to get people down there and in the building. Because once they come in, they see that the entire museum is filled from top to bottom with wonderful exhibits that are appealing to the entire family.
And you do have regular school tours. That's part of the museum's commitment.
We're
is the
working
education
with the El Paso School District?
Yes,
and having their exhibits.
Give us a taste of some of
Special programs, activities, films,
Jay Duncan has had films on Saturday at 2 o'clock for free. There's popcorn and some candy and stuff available.
As soon as you mentioned food.
And so that's been consistent, and he prints it out so they can pick it up 1 month ahead.
I am on his email list for
the
Sunset Film Society.
And there are international events that are planned, and how many different official foreign visitors have
A few months ago, we had a wonderful day with the ambassador of Poland, who was here for another event, but stopped by our museum, and we raised the Polish flag out in front with the other flags. We sang the Polish anthem. Right. Some of us gave him a tour of the museum. And so it truly is becoming that international museum with so many groups in El Paso. There's an English group and a group from Spain. There is a wonderful French group that has been down there a number of times with French music and French crepes.
So using the museum for special events and gatherings.
Yes.
Well, one thing I admire very much is the El Paso Artists Hall of Fame, which resides in the museum since 1994 and has given much deserved recognition to our local artists, from William Kolliker to Alexander Titovitz to L.B. Porter. It's
Eugene Thurston.
Hal Marcus. It's
the builders of El Paso.
The who's
art.
Who of El Paso
Bill
art.
Bissell is among them, and who I'd learned watercolor from for 14
years.
Yes.
This is marking the greats of our generations through that. You also have your annual Sun Bowl art exhibit, which has gone on since 1949.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about this particular exhibition.
I've been part of it, and I've also gone to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is it happens at the time of year when you have the parade with the Sun Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has changed a little bit across time. Remember that the Sun Bowl princesses have a breakfast there the day of the Sun Bowl parade. And so there's a lot of dignitaries there. And UTEP is connected to it in terms of it being the parade. But it's really taken care of by the museum.
Yes.
So that's the tradition there. It is historic. It is not just something very current.
Going back to the idea of having a place for the local and regional artists, sitting right here at this table a year or so ago, Candy Mayer was talking about the fact that it's wonderful to exhibit your work in a gallery, but to exhibit in a museum is very special for
Well, and in your hometown is darn nice, because you shouldn't have to leave town to be somebody.
The Sun Carnival itself was part of the vision of Iva Marie Turney.
Yes,
and
they were
the whole concept of the Sun Carnival and so forth, and it was part of this vision of these early 20th century
one of the Sun Queens was
that,
crowned
that
there.
Wanted to showcase El Paso's culture and traditions.
This museum has become such a unique treasure in our community because it is cultural, it is historic. It marks our history through the objects that are there. How long has Mitzi Kidarte been the executive director?
Well, I guess it's about a little over a year.
She's fairly new
as
still,
our board took over a little over 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Mitzi has done a phenomenal job.
Well, she is herself an artist also.
Right.
Yes,
so she understands
also
the workings.
An outstanding administrator and leader.
And you have to be.
Right.
Now, I'm always interested in what can people do if somebody out there is getting the fire lit within them to become a part of this museum. And do you have contributing memberships? Do you need volunteers? Because whenever there's an event, I know there's a lot to do. Also, you have a very eclectic mix of offerings in your exhibitions that might tweak someone's curiosity, everywhere from your Western Gallery to William Kolliker's contributions.
We are training docents.
Ah,
and,
there you go.
And so that's an area giving guided tours through the museum about the exhibits, about the history of the area, about the history of the architecture of the building is something that people of any age can do, people with any background, any interest, and we need this to be done in Spanish and English.
And it's a gift that you give yourself that keeps on giving.
Oh, the learning, yes, because, again, in relation to the history of the area, there's a collection apparently of Chinese rubbings.
Right.
Yes.
The Wu family shrines, more than 50 Buddha sculpture.
We're going to be training interns and students that are interested in going into the museum field. And that's a very important thing. We can train students who want to be artists and students who want to work in the museum fields. And so that's something that we're really looking forward to.
You can be a member also.
Yes, I was about to say that's very important.
That's always a contribution that we can appreciate. But by being in the door, by being present and by seeing what's there, we hope to inspire and have others aspire to what they can be as an artist, whether that is a collector or an admirer or an artist themselves, or that their children see that as an option.
Yes.
I think by being there, by going to a movie, you can always give a contribution. I think that you need to be physical in the building and see it regularly with changing exhibits. That's how we breathe. That's how we listen to music, not just once every 6 months when it's good for you, you know, but that it is part of your life.
Well said.
That it is part of why you value the city and how you can value it more.
Artists bring their work there so that they can get recognition, so that they can get feedback about their work, and so that they can sell their work. But also, this is a place where people can make a contribution to our culture, and they can enjoy it, but they can also contribute. The museum gets no public money, and we rely strictly on donations, contributions.
And we're becoming involved in grant writing as well.
Yes, because again, just maintaining the building is substantial. How many people are on staff?
We have a very small, hard-working staff. We have about five or six permanent staff members who coordinate volunteers in their own individual realm.
And make miracles happen every day.
And then like every museum, there's a dedicated core of volunteers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there has to be.
So in each area.
Well, there is no reason not to become involved with this effort if you are not familiar with the El Paso International Museum of Art. You need to get down to 1211 Montana Avenue. You can call 543-6747 for information. Entrance to the museum is free. They are open Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays and Sundays from 1 to 5. Tours are available upon request. And the website is internationalmuseumofart.net, and that's where you can read up on the history of the museum, the various exhibitions that they have, and the various permanent exhibitions available, and find ways to become involved. I want to thank my guests today, Board Vice President Mary Jo Melby, Board Member and Historian Prince McKenzie, and Artist Dorian Clouser. Thank you all so much for coming in
thank
and for
you.
All you do to keep this
thank you.
This beautiful museum vibrant.
Thank you.